Welcome to the Kinda Crunchy podcast, where we talk about all things health and wellness. We can't wait for you to hear today's episode, so let's get to it.
Well, hi guys, welcome to Kinda Crunchy. My name is Jensen.
I'm Rachel.
We are here together. I feel like we've just been doing some solo episodes, we have some guest episodes, but it is just us this week. So we have a health topic episode. We are going to be talking about all things thyroid, which I feel like, again, thyroid is one of those things, like, kind of a hot topic in health. So we're going to just talk about a little brief overview of that, some things you can do if you're struggling with your thyroid health. But before we get into that, we're going to give some brief life updates. So Rachel, you can start us off.
Yeah, honestly, a lot has been going on, yet nothing has been going on, I feel like. So I have nothing significant for, like, life updates. I've just been busy between family stuff and getting my garden cleaned up and ready to go and some outside work done and spring cleaning in the house. And I had mentioned on here, Logan and I got a camper a while ago. And so now that it's nicer out, we towed that down to our house and I've been just cleaning it out. And I'm actually recording, if you're watching on YouTube, in the camper today, just because I knew that my dog wouldn't bark if I was in here. And I've been in here a lot today because I am just working on kind of cleaning it out. And I'm trying to decide whether I want to do like a camper flip or not. So campers all look very, I don't know, I would say like 2000s interior decorating. Just like the patterns and stuff, I feel like are a little outdated. And the new super expensive brand new campers do look nicer and more modern, like with interior decorating options. But the one we got is a couple years old. And so I'm trying to determine if I want to like reupholster the fabric and hang new curtains and like paint the counters and the cabinets or what I want to do with it. So that's really been what I've been up to. What about you, Jensen?
I just want to say, since Rachel's on the camper, no dog distractions on her end, and Bentley's a groomer, so this, we're just saying, like, wow, we're not going to have to pause or edit. This is going to be just a smooth sailing episode. But I guess life updates for me. This past weekend, we had a yoga retreat, and it was super fun because we were just, like, out in the woods in a cabin. Went on a hike. Some people swam. It was like 50 degrees. I was not getting in the water. But it was just nice to like be away. And it wasn't like a lot of like an itinerary. So it was more just like a conversation, relaxing. I feel like when you're drinking coffee at the cabin in the morning, there's just like, it just hits different there. It's like, mm-hmm. Oh, it's so peaceful. So that was really good. And then there's just two things that Logan and I, well, Logan, I've been watching one and the other one I've just been watching. So we're going to the Hunger Games again. They're on Netflix. I don't know. They just were added. And we've been so busy. Like, by the time we ever watch anything, it's like 9:30, 10 at night. Just not great for someone that wakes up early. So I always usually do the beginning of it because I need sleep. But it's so funny. I have sort of like nightmares, but very vivid dreams because I'm falling asleep to like the Hunger Games and it doesn't get much more intense than that. But it's been fun watching them. It's like so weird. It's like I like them and it's a cool like concept, like really cool, but it's also very disturbing at the same time.
I've been watching Quiet on Set. I was actually just telling Rachel about this. It's the docuseries about like Nickelodeon and Drake Bell and like a lot of bad things that happened to like child actors and actresses. It's just like very eye-opening and it's kind of sad because they like talk about Zoe 101 and like Drake and Josh, iCarly, and it taints, like, you know, you watch these shows, you watch any show and you don't think about anything happening on set. You think, I'm watching the show, these people have great lives, like you don't think about that. And then just like hearing like some of the stuff that went on, it's really sad, but the docuseries is really good. I've been flying through it. And Rachel, you had asked me what it's on. It's on like Amazon Prime, but like you have to pay for extra. I did a 7-day trial and I'm going to cancel it after I'm done, which will probably be by tomorrow. But yeah.
I didn't know it was on Amazon Prime, or like we have Prime. We would probably pay for it and watch it. I couldn't find it. We don't have, I think, was it on like HBO or something? We don't have HBO.
Well, it's on something with it's like not, it's not just Amazon Prime. It's like an extra through Amazon Prime. So there was like, upgrade to this for $4.99 a month or do a 7-day trial. And I'm like, oh, I'll just cancel it.
Interesting. Yeah, we haven't watched that. Hunger Games, Logan has never watched.
Really?
So we'll have to watch it sometime. We've recently, I made him watch The Last Song with me recently because I was like, oh, it's so nostalgic. And rewatching it, I actually realized the acting is like so bad in it. And it was very almost like cringy. And it wasn't as good as I remembered when I was a high schooler, middle schooler watching that. And then we also recently watched 13 Going on 30 because Logan had never seen it. And he occasionally will watch like an old chick flick rom-com like that's nostalgic at this point. So yeah, we've watched those two. So maybe Hunger Games will have to be our next thing.
Is The Last Song, is that with Miley Cyrus?
Yeah, and Liam Hemsworth.
Okay, now I have that song in my head. Like, I think it's called like Look to You or
Look. Yeah.
That song would make me cry.
Yeah, it was very emotional in the movie.
Speaking of like stars and stuff, did you know that Taylor Swift dropped an album today?
I did. I listened to the whole thing. Did you?
I did not listen. What are your thoughts?
So I used to be a big Taylor Swift fan. Like, I went to all her concerts up until after the Reputation tour, actually. And I really liked her. I liked her when she was country at first. And then she got more poppy, and I still think she's like a really good lyricist and writer, and I like the music. I'm just not like a Swiftie. Like, I wouldn't proclaim myself as that or say that I'm like obsessed with her and her life or her music. But I think it was a well-written album. She always writes catchy music and good lyrics, so
yeah, I liked it. Whether you like her or not, you cannot deny her talent. I was just thinking about one of my like core middle school, high school memories was when we went to the Strip District, Cheesecake Factory, and Taylor Swift concert together. Yes. And that was one of the best
days. What a time.
It was fantastic. So, but yeah. So I just was curious. That was the talk of people today. And I was like,
it was a big deal.
Yeah, apparently she dropped one at midnight and then at 2 a.m. was like, psych, here's another one.
Yeah, it was just like the same album, but she added like 15 or 16 more songs. Like,
a lot.
I feel like she just like is at the point where she, because even like when she's been doing her re-recording, she's adding songs that didn't make the albums. I feel like she's just like any song she writes, she's just putting out at this point. Like, instead of being like, oh, you can only have 10 songs on an album, she's just like, here's 30 some tracks on an album. Like, it's everything I wrote.
Yeah.
So yeah. I kind of like that because why pick and choose? Like, you never know. But
people are going to listen to her no matter what she puts out. She's got the fan base. She can do whatever she wants.
Yeah, that's true for sure. Do you think we should get into the episode?
I was just going to say that. So yes.
Okay. So today we are talking about thyroid. I feel like we have a lot of listeners who have thyroid issues or are curious about their thyroid health. So hopefully this episode is helpful. We always say this, but we're not doctors and we're not experts. And especially with the thyroid, we're going to do an overview, but there's different types of thyroid problems. There's different things that can help depending on your different levels and this and that. So really this is like overview, maybe some ideas for you, but if you're actually thinking you have an actual thyroid problem, I would get testing. I would talk to a doctor of some sort and get that looked at, not just like use this episode as your main resource.
Yeah. I guess we can kind of start. I can kind of maybe talk about like what the thyroid is and like where it's located, because it was not where I expected when I first, I don't know. This sounds crazy. Maybe someone else thinks, but like, I think all my organs are like down here, like around, like, I don't know. I don't think of organs being like near like my throat. And this is your thyroid is near like where like the male at like the Adam's apple is. So it's a small butterfly shaped gland. And it controls the production of hormones, ones that aid in digestion and reproduction. And it also helps with your metabolism. So thyroid stimulating hormone, which is TSH, which you probably heard of, you might have heard of TSH, is produced by the pituitary gland in order to regulate the production of hormones released by the thyroid. So a little tiny gland here does a lot of things.
Yeah. So a lot of people get testing for their thyroid anytime they have like issues, especially women. I feel like it's like something doctors will be like, oh, maybe we should test your thyroid, or even just people know when they're like, oh, maybe we should look at my thyroid, you know? So T3 and T4 are the most commonly talked about of the thyroid hormones. That's because they're arguably some of the most important thyroid hormones. Once these two are released, they help to convert oxygen and calories into energy, which helps the body function normal. And by that, I mean it regulates your mood, your digestion, your sex drive, your cognition. It plays a part in those. So as many as 1 in 8 women in the U.S., this is interesting, can be impacted by thyroid disorder at some point in their life. So that is like a high statistic. That is a lot of people.
And honestly, it's probably more than that. Like maybe that's a disorder, but with actual like issues, or like if you actually blood tested everyone in the U.S. and looked at their optimal levels, I'm sure most people, a lot of people are not where they should be optimally.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to just like overview the most common thyroid problems. So we're going to talk about hypothyroidism, hyperthyroidism, and then an enlarged thyroid or goiter. Just kind of go through what each of those are so then we can dive more into like different symptoms and things to try.
I can start with hypo because okay. I have this or just slightly have it. So hypothyroidism is an underactive thyroid. So it's most common. It's when your body isn't producing enough of those T3, T4 hormones. And it's a lot around women when they're reproductive ages or middle-aged. And it really affects like your body metabolism, and there can be symptoms like brain fog, sluggishness, weight gain, reproductive issues. So when I recently got a lot of blood panels done, my thyroid levels were pretty good, except I had low T3, which I've gotten thyroid tested before, but my new doctor is like, I probably am in like the range, but she wants me to be in like the optimal range, which I'm glad. So I actually am on a medication, and this is just to show that, you know, we can be crunchy and we can use medicine too. And it's just like 50 milligrams. It's called, I think, liothyroid, I don't know, something like that. I haven't felt any different taking it, but you know, I'm in trying to have a child. Like if that's something, obviously it does impact your hormones and your reproduction. So if that will be something that'll boost my T3, I'm going to do it. We're going to talk more about going forward, like more natural things you can do. And I'm definitely doing those as well. But I think like, this is just a plug for the whole kind of crunchy. You can take medicine and naturally work on your health at the same time.
Yeah. So on the flip end of hypothyroidism is hyperthyroidism, which is an overactive thyroid. I feel like less people have this. I feel like the more common one based on research out there and just people getting diagnosed is hypothyroidism, especially the Hashimoto's, which is the autoimmune version of it. But hyperthyroidism is something that people have, which is an overactive thyroid. And I know a lot of people who are on synthetic thyroid hormone, which we're going to get into more, which is a treatment for either of these conditions, sometimes can teeter back and forth between being hypo or hyper, because the medicine, while they're trying to balance their medicine, it can be really touchy with the amounts and can cause them, like, even if they were originally hypothyroid, then they're taking too much of the medicine and become hyper. And they're like, oh my gosh, this is the complete opposite of my last symptoms. So essentially hyperthyroidism is the body has too much of those thyroid hormones. And so it causes your body and metabolism to speed up rather than slow down, which is going to cause fast or irregular heart rates and weight loss and trouble sleeping and kind of make you like in that, like, I don't know, like
fight or flight, like,
yes, yeah, like too much energy almost.
Yeah.
And then the last one is an enlarged thyroid or goiter. This is something I feel like people see less of in the U.S. Actually, with my work I do internationally, one of the ministries I work in is critical medical needs. And we get a lot of people in Africa requesting they need surgery for goiters. And it's actually because their diets lack iodine. And iodine can help with thyroid function. The correct amounts of iodine is very important to the thyroid, because you can also have too much and that can hurt the thyroid function. But this is why, one of the reasons in the U.S. they iodinize salt. I have to give my little aside here that I disagree with them iodinizing salt, because salt naturally contains iodine, and when they process it, they strip it of the natural minerals and forms, including iodine, and then put a replacement one back in that's a little different than what naturally occurs, so our body can't process it the same, so it's really not good for your thyroid. But that is a whole separate rant. And enlarged thyroid or goiters, we don't see that as much in the U.S., but if someone does have thyroid problems, sometimes that does happen. And it can also be the cause of eating an unbalanced diet. Like I said, a lot of the people in Africa who get a hold of me, their diet is not balanced. They're not getting enough naturally occurring iodine. And so that is something that can happen.
Yeah, I'd be curious what you're saying about when the thyroid medication can adversely impact you. I've been meaning to get blood work. I'm supposed to get blood work to test my thyroid levels. I've just been putting it off because I just have been busy and I need to do it. But I'm curious how, I hope that it hasn't swung too far. So I guess I'll report back. It's interesting though about the iodized salt. Fun fact, I'm doing a project at work where I'm adding iodized salt, a new product, so that goes against everything I believe in. But it's interesting. My doctor did say, are you having iodized salt? And I didn't really, I was always using Redmond's. So I did get an iodized salt just to maybe see if that helped any. But yeah, I also know what your thoughts are, and it's probably not great. It's so hard when there's pros and cons, but you're right that the regular salt would probably be better overall, because when you just strip it and add things, it's never good. It's not what our bodies want.
Yeah, for sure. Do we want to talk a little bit about the symptoms of thyroid problems, just general issues it can cause, and then more specific to symptoms, because hyposymptoms versus hyper are pretty much opposites.
Yeah. So some just general signs you might see would be dry skin, some digestion issues, digestion, constipation. If you're looking puffy, inflamed, especially your face. When you're exercising, you're feeling just tired and weak. Fatigue, lack of focus. And then, these things can cause infertility, irregular cycles. Maybe you're cold all the time. The whole weight loss, weight gain, can impact differently. Mm-hmm. Your hair can thin. So those would be just some general issues. But now, do we want to get into specifically hypo and hyper?
Yeah. So hypo, again, it kind of slows down your metabolism. Things are going slower than normal. You don't have enough of that thyroid hormone. And the result of that, the symptoms can sometimes look like just being generally fatigued, depression sometimes, a low heart rate, hair loss, heavy periods, moodiness, intolerance to cold, brain fog, unexplainable weight gains, a big one with hypothyroidism I know people have. Digestive issues are also very much so linked to hypothyroidism, the dry skin and hair, muscle weakness, sometimes even a hoarse voice can be linked. So those are all just really interesting, because sometimes it's these weird symptoms we have that we're I don't know why I feel like this, or why do I just feel down and cruddy? And maybe it's worth getting your hormones checked for your thyroid or your hormones in general. Because if you're having something that's a reoccurring issue like this, that you're this is a weird symptom, this isn't my normal, there might be something more underlying. Symptoms are our body's way of showing us there's some root issue that we need to heal. So I'm not saying if you have dry skin in the winter, you definitely have hypothyroidism. Mm-hmm. When we live in Pennsylvania and it's cold and we have a lack of humidity, yeah, you have dry skin. But if you're seeing some of these symptoms altogether regularly, then it might be worth getting checked, because what's the harm in making sure you're not imbalanced?
Yeah, it makes sense. I have a lot of these symptoms. I'm looking at this list and I'm like, low heart rate, intolerance to cold. Probably makes sense. Yeah. So, again, like Rachel said, it doesn't mean like you have this, you have that. But it is interesting when you do look at like a list of symptoms and you're like, oh, that kind of does match up with me. Again, just it never hurts to test just to find out like, hey, maybe you are fine. But like if you are low or you are high in something, like then you can address the situation and ultimately feel better.
Yeah, for sure.
And then do you want to go ahead? Yeah. Hyperthyroid. This would be like we said that like you're like kind of like that fight or flight, like you're go, like you're like just feeling racing heart rate is one of the main things of that. Insomnia, sleep issues. So if you're having issues sleeping, even though you're busy and you're doing things, but you can't sleep at night, maybe that's something. Again, feeling that muscle weakness, having thin, brittle hair, frequent bowel movements. So that's the opposite of the whole constipation with hypos. This would be frequent bowel movements, a lot of sweating, you're maybe losing weight or you can't put weight on. And just like that, like anxiousness or like jittery nervousness, those might be something that you might want to check out and see if you have some hyperthyroid issues happening.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, they're kind of opposites and you can like swing on a pendulum of like balanced is in the middle, and it's a very testy thing where just even the slightest amount of too much or too little can push you onto either end. So sometimes people fluctuate between one or the other. But I think we should talk a little bit about the causes of thyroid issues in general. There's some like general causes, and then there's some specific, I don't know, causes or links of like the most common hypo or hyper. Oh my goodness, this is like
a people are gonna have to be listening and be like, wait, did they say hyper or hypo?
Right. So in general, thyroid issues can be caused by a lot of different imbalances in the body, but different stressors or things we do to our bodies can give us a higher likelihood of developing a thyroid disorder. So things like having imbalanced hormones in general, skipping sleep, over or under exercising, an inflammatory diet, or just generally unhealthy lifestyle and habits can contribute to different thyroid disorders sometimes. And specifically, I'll just say about this link, hypothyroidism, the most common version is called Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which is a common type of hypothyroidism that the body attacks the thyroid and destroys cells in it, and it's an autoimmune condition. And so it's essentially happening because of an autoimmune response, and that affects women 7 to 10 times more than women. And with everything we talk about on here, autoimmune conditions are majorly impacted by the health of our gut and the stress and our lifestyle. We've talked about that so much. So I'm not saying you can avoid getting hypothyroidism or having these issues, but you can do a lot of things proactively or actively if you're diagnosed with this to fight against that and help support your body to be more healthy in your immune system and to take care of yourself so you're not as likely to have an autoimmune condition.
Okay, as you're saying this, I feel like in our like show notes, we need a link. We have so many episodes where we touch on thyroid. We have like an inflammation one, a sleep one. There's so many episodes, and I know this, we've talked about it because I was like, when I was getting on, I have all of my podcast notes in one document, and I searched like thyroid. This was before the notes of this episode were in. I think thyroid was in like 17 times. Like I typed it. So that means we've talked about it a lot, and just it is so intertwined with everything, like Rachel said. Like if you fix like inflammation, you might fix a bunch of things. If you fix your sleep, you might fix a bunch of things. Like it's crazy how like all these different pieces of our health really work together. And like, yeah, that's why we can't just isolate one little thing. Like it's all connected. So we'll have to link those episodes because I feel like those also can also provide you guys with like tips and tricks and just more information on how you can hopefully help better your thyroid health.
For sure. On the flip end of that, hyperthyroidism, Graves' disease is the most common cause of this, or having a goiter can actually cause it. In general, the thyroid can be impacted by nutrient deficiencies, which we already talked about. So poor diets that are high in sugar and processed foods, or too much caffeine and alcohol, and a lack of real iodine or selenium and zinc electrolytes. Stress also plays into it. So emotional stress, we have to remember, is just as big of a proponent as mental stress and physical stress. So all types of stress can contribute to the thyroid having an issue. And then, like we talked about, the gut as well, poor gut health or a leaky gut. The gut is that second brain. We talked all about that in our gut health episode, and it is linked to your thyroid because your thyroid produces hormones, and we know that your gut and your hormones and your brain are so linked, and inflammation in the gut can cause disease because the gut's 70% of the immune system. So when you're having this Hashimoto's thyroiditis, the gut is 70% of your immune system. So your gut health is going to impact your thyroid health for sure.
I was going to say, kind of going back to Hashimoto's, doesn't the Wellness Mama, or didn't the Wellness Mama, I feel like she had Hashimoto's. I've listened to her podcast a few times, and I think she had it and like naturally fixed it.
She did.
Yeah. So we'll have to link her too, because she, Rachel and I have talked about it many times, wealth of knowledge, and has guests on her show with just such a wealth of knowledge. But I know that like she struggled with that and like naturally worked to fix it. So like, just a reminder, if you have hyper, hypo, Hashimoto's, like, there's ways to get better. Like, it's not like this is who you are, this is what you have. Like, our bodies are meant to heal, and like there are things you can do. So she would be a great encouragement or wealth of knowledge too on this.
One thing I do want to say on that, so this is like my little rant I did want to add in, is that I have really followed her in that journey for years, and she lived with it for years and was on medicine, even though she was like one of probably the healthiest people I know of and doing all these natural things. It was something that she did have to stay on medicine for. She did take a journey to naturally heal it, and it's actually really interesting if you listen to her podcast consistently. The thing that ended up sending her into the most healing, she experienced like all this thyroid healing and all this weight loss and stuff, was she had some deep rooted emotional trauma from her childhood. And it was really all mental health stuff, which is like so crazy, because for years, her brand and everything she did was like about all these external factors of health. And when she really dug to the root of like, how the emotions were connected to the physical part, that's when she started to heal. So it was just really interesting. And she really has said a lot of what I've heard, and I don't want to speak for her. Again, you can go listen to everything she said, but her healing process was really one where she was afforded the opportunity, because of the line of work she's in, where she's a full-time health and wellness influencer, to step back and fully dive into healing for like several years. And I like that she had the perspective of being like, that's not always realistic for someone who's like a working mother. And sometimes the healthier thing is to support your body in all these healthy ways, but have a little medicine unless you're able to fully like dedicate yourself to healing in a healing journey. So I just feel like that's important to say, because I don't want people to have guilt for being on that medicine, or like go to their endocrinologist and be like, I can heal naturally. And then they get off their medicine and they feel like crap and their life's in the tubes. And they're like, oh my gosh, I feel worse than I ever have. Because again, kind of crunchy, sometimes that little bit of medicine, like even if you can get down to the lowest dose and then be supporting yourself healthily, can be the better thing for you. I know my family, which it can run in genetics to have thyroid issues, the women in my family have. And so my grandma had it, was on medicine for a few years, and then was able to heal from it and get off medicine. And she's been fine since. My mom has had it for years, and she has really invested in, she goes to an endocrinologist. I mean, she had really bad thyroid issues, and she has been on medicine for years, and she has really done work on her diet and her lifestyle and stuff, but she still stays on a low dose because right now she's working and that's what's healthier for her and for her body and lifestyle right now. So it's really finding what works for you and what's right for you in this journey. But the best thing you can do is try to be proactive so you don't end up with a thyroid issue, which is something I'm really passionate about because it does run in my family and genetics in the women. And so I really am trying my best to support my thyroid now so down the line I don't end up with an issue.
I love that. Yeah. Again, everybody's different. Every person is different. Every situation is different. So yeah, you can do things naturally. You can do medicine. You can do a mix of both. But ultimately, whatever is going to make you feel better and works with your lifestyle, that's what you should do.
For sure. Yeah. So I feel like we touched on the things that cause thyroid issues other than sometimes pregnancy because of the hormone changes can cause it, which is really interesting. So, or menopause too. So it's always good just to get your levels checked like every once in a while. I am a proponent for going to the doctor regularly just to get different blood tests and stuff and make sure everything's all right, especially if you go through something like pregnancy. I feel like we should be like doing more blood work and different things after pregnancy. Like it completely alters your body.
Oh, absolutely.
Your hormones, everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I feel like we should get into talking about like thyroid treatments. So maybe go through what like a typical medical model is going to do to treat you versus like natural things. Because again, we talked about sometimes what's going to be best for people is a mix of these. You know, some people might want to go all in on trying to heal their thyroid naturally, which is awesome too. So I think we should just hit on both.
Yeah, I can talk about kind of the medical way.
Okay.
So normally you get referred to an endocrinologist. I think I said that wrong. It's been a week.
If you have a severe thyroid issue, some people just go to their regular doctor, but an endocrinologist is the expert in it. So it really is good to go to one because some doctors out there, not to slam doctors, but some doctors are just like, oh, I tested this one thyroid hormone and now I'm going to throw you on this level of medicine and it can actually mess you up more because they're not like doing due diligence to really like look at your levels like an endocrinologist would.
Yeah. And that's where it's like, I feel like if my condition or my level, it's one that's a little bit off. So they put me on a real low dosage, but I feel like if they would be like, whoa, your levels are really off, like that would be my next step. But yeah, again, that's when it gets a little bit more serious. But for hypothyroidism, they'll sometimes give you that synthetics, thyroxine or T4, a hormone supplement. Some people can take a combination of the two, of T4 and T3. Again, they might start you on a lower dosage like me, and that might do the trick. You might need more. And then with hyperthyroid, radioiodine, is that how you say it?
Radioiodine, radioactive iodine.
Okay. Anyways, radioactive iodine is the most common to be used to reduce, kind of calm down your thyroid that's like going crazy. And then if it's real bad, they could remove the whole gland. That's very last resort, but can happen. So again, that's where you can use medicine to treat. And then now Rachel can start to get into, and we can both get into some natural ways because there are lots of things you can do naturally to help.
There definitely are. I feel like we have a lot of these things. So the first thing is to focus on iodine, selenium, and zinc. So foods that have high iodine in them are raw milk, wild-caught fish like tuna, fermented grains, seaweed, and real salt has naturally occurring iodine. Foods that have selenium in them are Brazil nuts. Like 2 Brazil nuts a day, I think, give you the selenium you need, which is crazy.
It's crazy.
Yellowfin tuna, halibut, sardines, turkey, beef liver. Again, we're always going to talk about beef liver. Foods that have zinc are your animal proteins like beef, eggs, turkey, things like chickpeas, asparagus, flax seeds, nuts, mushrooms, electrolytes, real salt. Eating lots of vegetables are going to help give you this too. And I think an important thing to say about this is not to cut out carbs because your thyroid needs them to make and convert hormones. So something you could do dietary wise is try an inflammatory free diet for a month. So no sugar, no seed oils. Maybe you reduce all processed carbs or just do sourdough or just like rice or something for that month, and then reintroduce a healthy balance, but maybe do a really strict diet for like a month or so and really focus on getting iodine, selenium, and zinc and having real nutrient density and like low inflammation, and see if that can help heal some things. That's also going to help your gut too, for sure.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, when you're reading this list, and I feel like it's a very similar list to just like a lot of the other food lists on our episodes, like it's all about just eating a very well-rounded, like diversified diet with different minerals, nutrients, food groups. Like, if you only eat meat, you're not going to get what you need. If you only eat vegetables, you're not going to get what you need. So I think it's just an emphasis of like, hey, how can you add things to your diet? How can mm-hmm. you buy a bag of Brazil nuts, which love that that's in this episode because I went through my bag and haven't reordered. But literally just one or two a day can do wonders for you. So mm-hmm. little things, just additions to your diet, instead of being like, I need to remove this, remove this, remove this, which there are things you can remove, but like, let's look at like, what can we add to add nutrients, to add health to your meals, to your day?
Yeah, for sure. So I think diet always affects so much in your body. It's one of the easiest things you can change, yet one of the hardest things to change. Oh, yeah. So it can make a huge impact, but it does take effort to change your habits with eating and your diet and, you know, cut things out or add things in. It takes some effort.
Yeah. Another thing that I'll add is like really getting on, again, we've talked about this before, but getting on like a good sleep wake cycle, getting your circadian rhythm, getting sunlight in the morning, not watching movies in bed at night, talking to myself, use your blue light glasses if you have them, but just getting on like that good sleep wake cycle, because again, that also leads to adrenal fatigue, which mm-hmm. we're going to get, that isn't like, it's all connected. So I think just focusing on like the big things, like, am I getting good sleep? Am I resting? Am I not on a routine that's like all over the place? Like, again, life happens. You maybe just had a baby. You're maybe working night shift. Like, there's some things you can't control, but like, there's so many ways to heal yourself that cost a lot of money. That's one thing that is free that you can do. Mm-hmm. Again, also can be one of the most challenging. But I would just say, like, if you're waking up at 4 a.m. some days like me, or you're like, what are things that I can do to like, oh, I can try to get morning sunlight as soon as I can, or I can make sure I go to bed early, or I can make sure I'm eating, you know, there's so many factors. So I would just say like focusing on like that, like whole sleep wake cycle is going to also do wonders for you.
Yeah. I feel like we reiterate like the same things again and again, because it's just these basic things make such a big impact.
Yeah.
One of those other things is reducing toxicity. Mm-hmm. So reducing the amount of chemicals you are ingesting, like how many medicines or how much birth control or hormone replacements, things that you are ingesting that could impact your hormones directly, as well as like topical cleaning products, beauty products, candles, you know, the whole spiel we've done on here. If you don't, you can go back and listen to all those episodes about reducing toxicity. Things like your alcohol consumption, or if you smoke. I know vaping's like a super big thing right now, and there's not enough research out there to show like it's, I mean, there's research coming out now, but we haven't had years of it yet to show the long-term effects of it on health. And I won't be surprised if it affected your hormone. I'm sure your hormones, I'm sure it affects your overall health negatively. So I won't be surprised by that. And then, of course, toxicity, heavy metals too, like mercury fillings in teeth can contribute to toxicity, which that's a pretty big one. That's like if you're getting really crunchy and want to dive in, because that's a big procedure and lots of money to get your mercury fillings out. But you can find a natural dentist who would do it. I have a great one in Pittsburgh that I love. So that can be a way to reduce your toxicity too, which your toxicity can contribute to hormone issues because it's external things that can act like hormones and get your actual hormones out of whack.
Yeah, no, so well said. And then kind of going into the last part of our list, which is supplements. And it's always last for a reason, because we're going to try to give you tips where you don't have to break your bank for. But sometimes you do need to supplement, and I supplement things. It's okay. One of the things is probiotics can help, especially with reducing autoimmune conditions, because that's just going to aid in all things gut health. Bone broth, collagen. Again, we've said, again, I feel like everyone's like, we've heard this before. We've heard this for like inflammation, but we're like, it's all connected. Mm-hmm. Ashwagandha, that's an herb. I took that at one point. It's been helping to increase your T4 levels. It has many other benefits, but that's one of them. And then NAC, I've actually been on for like probably a year or two at this point, because it's supposed to help. Yeah, every day. NAC stands for N-acetylcysteine. I know I reorder it often. It's actually supposed to help with like cervical mucus for fertility. But as you can see, it also has another help aid. My brain just blanked. Purpose, yes. to make glutathione, which is the master antioxidant for the liver, and 70% to 90% of T4 and T3 are converted in the liver. So helps support your liver, which helps support the whole conversion of those very essential hormones.
Again, though, there is something to whatever organ you need to support eating that. And so if you want to help your liver, eat liver. So I'm, again, advocating for eating liver, raw or cooked, to help your liver, to help your glutathione process in your liver, which will help your thyroid.
Since I started my new job, I have not cooked beef liver because I have not been at home. And I like need to so badly. Not that I feel terrible, but I'm just like, my body probably, you don't even need a lot of it, but I feel like I just need to
my liver.
Pick up my house for a day and just do it. So,
the one other thing I'll add in there is proteolytic enzymes, which help our hormones and metabolic functions naturally occur. And you can actually find this in papaya and pineapple. So instead of buying a supplement, maybe eat some fruit. And yeah, that could help. So that might be cheaper than buying a supplement too sometimes. So eat your liver, eat your fruit, drink your bone broth. Those are all going to help your gut, help your thyroid, which you'd be like, how does that help my thyroid? That's how. And yeah, those comboed with lifestyle changes could definitely help contribute to healthier thyroid. Again, I feel like we should just say everybody's journey is different. Thyroid especially is something very like unique and specific to each person, because the level is such like a sensitive thing with your thyroid. So if you have a thyroid issue, maybe doing some of these natural things in combination with the medicine you're taking, talking to your doctor or endocrinologist about doing these things and seeing if it's okay to kind of combo these, can maybe be a positive thing for you. If you are like gung-ho about wanting to be really proactive with your thyroid or heal a potential thyroid issue, I do want to give a few resources. So Wellness Mama, we've talked about on here, she healed from Hashimoto's thyroid disease. And she's had quite the journey. She has a lot of info out there, a lot of great podcasts with wonderful guests all over the spectrum in like the thyroid realm, specialists on it. One of those guests is Dr. Alan Christensen. He has a book called The Thyroid Reset Diet. Actually, I got my mom that book, and she is on that diet, and it's actually an iodine-reducing diet, which is like opposite of what you're normally told with the thyroid, but he has so much research and stuff that it's really, really interesting, and my mom has worked with her endocrinologist, and he's like, I've never seen someone do a low iodine diet to help their thyroid, but it's very specific, and it has worked for her, so she's like living proof that it's not just woo-woo, so that's a good one to look into. Also, Dr. Amy Horniman is another great resource. And yeah, I just think, you know, if you're having a thyroid issue, the other thing is if you're local, I recently had Dr. Andrea Poy on here, and I just saw that she's releasing a thyroid mini course on her website. And she also does testing and like functional naturopathic treatment for thyroid. So it might be worth, if you're in this area, looking into her to see what options you have naturally that can be specified to you. Or if you're in another area, finding a naturopathic or functional doctor who can maybe help you take a natural approach to the thyroid.
So there's one doctor out here. I think I've mentioned them on here before. I've not gone to them, but I know so many people have gone to them. It's called Turnpaw Health. They're like a naturopathic doctor in Mannheim.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a few around the Lancaster location, but I've heard nothing but great things. And I follow their Instagram and they're just very natural. And yeah, I've heard people get great results there too. So that's a one if you're a Lancaster local. But I would just want to add one last thing. Rachel, kind of like how your mom like took like what she learned from like Dr. Allen to her endocrinologist, like advocate for yourself. Like do like I, you know, obviously we pay our doctors money to do things, but like if you're not seeing the results you're looking for, like bring things to your doctor. Like there is constantly new research coming out. Like sometimes we have to remember that doctors are only humans like us, and a lot of them went to medical school a long time ago. And it's like there's always new stuff coming out. So if you hear of something like, hey, I heard this on Kinda Crunchy. I'm just kidding about that part. But like if you do hear something and you're like, hey, you know, and then you find some research to back it up and you take it to your doctor. Like I just think my big thing is like if you're not seeing the results you're wanting from your doctor, just advocate for yourself because you know your body more than they do. You live in your body every day, mm-hmm. you know. So that would be my last piece of advice with thyroid health and just general health issues and, you know, that you might be facing.
That is great advice. I don't have anything else to add. Like I said, this was kind of overview of thyroid. Again, see a doctor, see a specialist. But maybe, hopefully, this will help anyone out there who is struggling with what they think could potentially be a thyroid issue or who has a thyroid issue that's like, oh, my doctor's only telling me medicine. What natural things can I do? Hopefully, this gave you some more tips and info and resources, if nothing else. So.
Yeah. I just have to say, it's so great being back, Rachel, together. It's so much easier to record the two of us. When we do our solo episodes, we're just like, this is so hard. So it's good to be back. But,
it is.
But thank you guys for being here. As always, we hope you're having a wonderful day. Make sure you know, subscribe, follow, like, you know the spiel. But thanks for being here, and we will see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Remember, although we talk all things health and wellness here, this is not medical advice and you should always seek out your medical professional for further questions. Thanks again for listening. Please remember to share, comment, and subscribe to help support our podcast.